So we have, when that power outage determined the faults, which are like the holes in the ground, where the cables connect together, have a lot of water in them, and that's probably where the major failures occurred. So the things that failed in the last several power outages were faults 2, 3, 7, I believe. That means anything to you? Some people are kidding. Yeah, we know where those are. They're all the time. So,
just a position on it.
Yeah, what do we have? We have 25 volts.
Yeah.
So basically, these high voltage cables with 13,000 volts and a lot of current in them come together in these vaults, and there's boots and connectors on the vault. So if you've ever done wiring, you know, the wires come together and solder. No solder. It's a I'm fine. I'll imagine you can over there, no time. And you put a little boot on it, it's most of the water pieces. When it's underwater, when there's 4 foot of water in the vault, then it doesn't really work so well. So we're going to replace, hopefully, in the first week of May, after school gets out, do one of the vaults. It's about $25,000 to $30,000 a vault. So we're going to attack one of the vaults right after school gets out. We're going to pick an exact date, but yeah, we're going to make May 4th and 5th, and we're going to do that. Tuesday, but some students suggested that it would be good to afford to see the issue. So, no, close to that. Worst case scenario, well, best case scenario, is we're going to go into vault number 2, which is not the vault we're going to work on. We're going to go into vault number 2 and take it all apart and rewire it. And then we're going to go into vault number 3 and do the work there. So, power will go out for a short period of time. Well, we rewire the whole campus of Vault 2, and then we'll turn the power back on, and hopefully all the buildings will come up except for Brady, Crawford, Continent, and Lyle. Those buildings won't be up. So again, the dates are we're looking at the 4th and the 5th. One of those 2 days. Power will be off all day long, so the power will go off just for those 4 buildings. Then the power will go off for everybody for another hour or so. We'll reconfigure vault number 2 and rewire the campus there.
I believe you are aware, should be aware, we have asked for $300,000 in supplemental funds for electrical infrastructure that would like to be awarded by Webster in the summer of this fall. That's what happened. Lots of institutions in Michigan have serious infrastructure problems. The state has a significant area during the summer where their water was contaminated. I think that would be worse than no water. We had contaminated water from all the residence halls, cleaning facilities. They were shut down. We had a health issue about cooking and access to water for students. And it was a significant issue on the campus that I'm hearing the most in terms of massive infrastructure challenges in Michigan State, for tens of millions. And next year, last year, the Michigan Association of State Universities has collectively agreed all the presidents, as well as the leadership, will ask for a capital outlay process specific for infrastructure for the universities. Of the 15, 14, each have over $10 million. Only institution of 15 that is not claims to not have preferred maintenance is Michigan. Everyone else is in tens of millions. And this is again similar to the roads issue. The state hit its significant budgets problems. There were the cutbacks in the state infrastructure within the state of roads, and for universities, all but one is significant cutbacks to their maintenance problems. Programs, and for some of them, it is so we are pushing. And other states are doing the same. With my suggestion, and I'm glad to ask you to decide to move on this, is that it makes no sense for all 15 of us to individually try to accomplish this. Every other state has massive infrastructure issues with universities. coaching it, so I'm going to get a position. In fact, I learned from Wisconsin, they're projecting $1.5 billion in infrastructure across their 26 campuses over the next 10 years. So it's considerably less than Michigan, but they're getting fractured. Essentially, as an aggregate rather than saying every campus should try to do something, and that's the approach that we would take as opposed to the state next year, which makes a lot of sense for the state citizenry to react to much more if it's presented as an aggregate total problem rather than every campus. So anything else you need to know about the
So worst case scenario, we go into Vault 2, can't reconfigure the campus, the whole campus will be gone all day. We still have two at Vault to tackle that, and we'll schedule those hopefully in August sometime. So we're trying to have the least disruptive time spot. Yes.
In addition to redoing the splices, are you replacing the cable to the vaults?
If we replace cable, that'll probably be in August, and we're gonna replace not the first run out of the physical plan, the second run.
That's a big issue too.
We've got
and we've got 30-year lifespan cable that's 40 years old.
Yeah.
So, cable, our most recent cable, all of our most recent cable is within miles of Kinder. Correct. Later life cycle. So we need to this. And this I will say listening to the IT testimony in the legislature, other universities present an infrastructure problem. One could make an argument that it actually is impacting our offerings to students. You know, other campuses have lost power, lost water, none of them would say we lost 2.8 class or 4.8 class. That worked to our advantage. Other institutions would say, well, maybe we don't do this now. Say we had an interruption to our scheduling. That's a question of all of our. In fact, we had, I would say, the most convincing argument for that need.
Is this something that we could look at as a fundraiser to the foundation?
So next year we will be asking.
But would it make sense to put in a little so-called sweat equity of our own?
She will be doing something out of that. Very shortly, tomorrow's energy contracts on campus. We have bids out for energy contracts that allow us to change. Campus is something that's in Michigan. Most of every other state in the country has its own energy contracts. Each of the states has to be upgraded. Electrical, we have a phone energy contract out there now. We get the RFQ or an RFP. And this will allow us to make massive upgrades to our lighting, as you can see, in the way it's done. We haven't done this for a completely redid entire campus 12 months. Brought it into the 21st century. The way this works is you go out for a contract like this, a company that's part of the bid, will make that investment based on the savings that they recoup off of their energy savings over a 20-year period of time. Very common in Michigan, standard practice for the rest of the country. When you sign one of these contracts, the company that does the work is required under the contract to document and monitor savings. So they have to monitor the performance. Do all the work that they have. They're held accountable for X amount of savings. That they have guaranteed that those upgrades and that they will be significant. We have huge opportunities for upgrades to our lighting and HVAC. Not only saves money, but also modernizes campus. We want to get rid of as much sodium vapor and mercury vapor and decimating across the campus. We have some amazing places to make massive savings. A good example is the lighting in the hockey arena. It's so efficient that it actually competes against ice cool. So lighting generates, uses so much power, it generates so much heat, it's generating heat and efficiency. It melts the ice. You get a constant playback and forth between the cooling system and the lighting system. It'll change all that. It's going to be much brighter there, but it will save us a significant amount of money. It basically costs more to cool the ice and the lighting system. We have lots of examples. One of the few campuses that does not have standard motion sensors in every room on campus. That's become standard in higher ed 20 years ago. One very modern building, the South Hall, Constantine Hall, the rest of the campus. I would say 2025 is behind the campus. Not for Michigan. Practice. All of never find a real time for this to start. So we have to, you know, it's standard operating procedure very time to not maintain our infrastructure for this.
Any questions?
Kathy, works.
Sure, I'm happy to do that. My cafe committees have met over the past several weeks and actually thought that we would ask each of the committee need to share what work that they've done. If you want to pass that out. So an email went out yesterday, and that includes draft, final language, then working to identify 3 to 5, really trying to get it down to 3 goals per pillar of CAFE. I think we're very close. We need to do a bit of wordsmithing related to the language, but some really good progress is being made. Let's go ahead and start with the individual committee reports, culture committee.
So the culture committee over the course of this semester has been conducting sort of a pilot study to see how people view the core values of this institution as they're posted on the president's website. So I don't know if we asked any of you, did anybody get interviewed by one of us from the CAFE committee? Yes. Our student representative interviewed President Prager. We tried to spread it out as much as possible, and based on that little pilot study that we did, we're going to make a recommendation to Dr. Prager here in the next couple of weeks.
Thanks, Tim. Academic.
So we've been working, based on the feedback we got from campus, we've been working on our goals in the academic committee, and we narrowed them down to 3 goals, and you can see them on your paper. The 2 pieces that I want to talk about are related to the feedback that we received, and we welcome more feedback from you. The first is in the second goal, where the term have an education that is value added. There was some feedback about what does that mean, we're not really sure how to phrase that, and our committee had a lot of discussion about whether or not we should switch that term around. But the idea of value added is it's greater than the sum of its parts. And so basically we're trying to capture the idea that if students come to Lake State, they're going to come away with even more than you would think they would based on the list of classes that they take. So greater than the sum of our parts. So we're still playing with that. We hear the feedback about value added. It's a term that's in the literature right now, that's where we came up with it, but still working on that. And the other term is goal 3, the idea of an intrusive model of student advising. We understand intrusive isn't necessarily a nice word. Some people are saying it's kind of a negative connotation. And again, we had lots of discussion. Intrusive is used in the literature, but the idea is that at Lake State, you can't hide. So we are intrusive in our advising. If I notice a student isn't showing up in class, I'm going to get in touch with you. You can't hide. And so we're trying to figure out how do we capture that idea that we are intrusive. We are watching. We'll knock on your door if you live on campus. We're going to call you. We're going to email you. So those are the pieces I just wanted to mention that we heard the feedback, we had some discussions, and we ended up keeping those terms so far, but we welcome more feedback and talk on those.
Excellent. Thank you, Kathy. Finance Committee?
Basically, we've been working mostly on the goals lately as well. We narrowed it down to 3 based on the feedback that we have that incorporated into what they're trying to do. Welcome more feedback in that area. We've also been working on the 3-year plan with Maury. He shared some benchmarking specific to higher ed called the book, and we're taking a look at that as well.
Finally, enrollment.
We've been meeting with Washington School on campus, different heads from 10 different departments. We're asking some really generic list of questions. We're asking what their department has done in regards to improvement retention with the campus community for that to help them with those goals. and what recommendation they hope that we bring to our employers in the future. So we're just really appreciate the all the really broad and general framing discussion. We're really candid and insightful discussion with all of these groups. Every meeting has run decently over, so we have really good feedback from that, and we've been compiling this data. We'll be analyzing it and getting common themes out and making recommendations soon. And I just wanted to also say that it's been a really good time, a really pleasure serving on this committee as far as it's been all of our student reps. Yeah, serve on these committees, really enjoy it. It's something the student government hopes to bring forth in the future, too, as well.
Congratulations on being elected as president.
Thank you.
We're going to get another new remark.
Agenda, and I think it's important that we participate.
outstanding opportunity to go to those meetings. There are a lot of faculty and staff and institutions that are just the presidents, not just the provosts. And it's an opportunity to see what is happening in higher ed at the national level.
Absolutely. So after our visit in the fall, we've been reaccredited. I want to reemphasize that. We had a good visit. We've got some work to do. We've got work to do with respect to federal definition of accredited. Right? That report is due next spring. We've developed our response, and in fact, HLC began looking closely at that in 2012. So that was just after our last visit in 2011. So it was our turn to come up in this cycle, and we're responding appropriately. That's our first interim report. We also have to provide interim reports again on enrollment as well as finances. And part of what we heard again was the format or content for those interim reports, so we have good guidance in that regard. And this is the first year HLC has formalized that. Finally, institutional learning outcomes, and I'm on an email thread. I know there's been a lot of good discussion, good conversation from the general education subcommittee working in that regard. Program review is another key area that we need to focus on as we prepare for our interim visit in the spring of 2019, and then how all of this connects with our strategic plan. So we're crafting the path forward and are excited to get that job done. Thanks.
Any questions? Hi, Jay, want to see the state of operations again. Every year we are asked to testify that testimony changes every year. It's basically our opportunity to have dialogue with the legislature. Our conception of the spirit of the doesn't go so well for the other institutions. Very bad strategy.
That is kind of
plain. Usually that tactic. That's about a much worse situation in terms of your appropriation and in the legislature's view and for that institution. It seems to be a fairly common tactic. The president fails every time. My colleagues do this to argue institution aid gets way too much and we should get some of what they're getting to come to us. That never works. I haven't seen that work in two states. Usually the reaction of the legislature is. I'm not going to take money from another institution. I'm surprised over and over again. Some of my colleagues try to do it. Very good. All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to address you today. Just to run you through kind of the three different budget proposals. The first is the governor's budget proposal. He is proposing a 2.5% increase in higher funding across the board. That will result in a 1.9% increase in the state, or about $259,000. He has a tuition restraint cap of 3.8%. And quickly, they set the cap this year. Each of the groups, the House, the Senate, and the governor, put different restrictions on what would happen if they violated that cap. So the governor is the least strict. He said lots of refunding and the portion of funding.
I just want to make a comment about this. Compared to the rest of the Midwest, this is actually pretty good for us.
Right.
Wisconsin has announced the governor is requiring a 5% tuition reduction. Not any increase, but every campus has to reduce its tuition by 5% to figure out how to fund that. Huge problem.
I was thinking it's
inching in the right direction. It's small, it's the right direction in terms of going up 3.8%. The long term problem, though, is that 3%, 4.8%, or 4% net ballpark every year will make higher ed unaffordable in the state. If you keep doing 4% every year, eventually you'll price yourself out. There are a couple of institutions that want to increase their tuition by 25%. This year, the state put in some stiff penalties if you go outside of the cap. One that is now in, apparently, is you lose all capital outlay funds going forward. You go beyond the tuition restraint. It's a big one.
Yeah. Right.
was 3.8 chosen?
So 3.8 was chosen, from what I understand, by FX, whatever's in permanence, the inflation recovery. So the thing that's important also to mention is that in fact, this budget, the governor's main hope was 2% increase. And he wanted to get each institution to above their 2011 levels. So when he first came in his first year in office, there's a 50% cut across the board. He's been incrementally increasing each university so that they're past those levels. And we've been past those levels for 2 years now. Schools like Wayne State and Eastern and Saginaw Valley, I want to say, were below the 2011 levels. So this budget does favor them a little bit more than it favors us. In some respects, I'll just be frank. We didn't get the fairest shape out of some of the budget, but we've been super blessed for the last 2 years, so we can't really enforce the budget. So moving on, in the governor's proposed budget, he has a restriction for TIP reimbursements for two times their community college rate. And if you guys are unfamiliar with what TIP is, it's the tuition incentive program. It's a way for students who have qualified for Medicare for 2 years between after seventh grade to receive funding for an associate's degree when they enter college. What the governor and his office are trying to do is to cap that, the reimbursement rate, to two times the regional community college rate. So whatever big ones today, they would only reimburse double that amount. For us, that would mean, Devin Powell's probably has the accurate numbers on it, but there would be students who would be severely impacted by that. So we don't hear that.
We would like an appetite to have like a college or number
of class or. And then unfortunately, the governor did not include any funding for the Michigan tuition waiver. There are others, there's other stuff that these are the points that we really care about. However, the Senate is the Senate proposed a 2% increase for $28,000. And of that, you can get a 1.5% increase for $280,000. So it's about $50,000 down from where the governor was proposing. But that exactly was what the governor was saying. So here's the strict one in terms of the tuition restraint. Funding, if we violate the cap, we would lose half of the funding for future projects that wouldn't jeopardize the seed rate that we got last year. But let's just get into our they have no new restrictions for TIP, no new restrictions at all, which is fantastic. It does require us to report TIP graduates. I think it's a way of trying to help tell the story of TIP a little bit better. And thankfully, they included $300,000 in one-time funding for achieving the tuition waiver. Right now, they're dispersing it amongst the universities on a per pupil basis, and we are going to advocate to the legislature that if this is to help offset the budgetary shortfall, which it is, that it should be reimbursed to each university based on the state, the shortfall that we have into our budget. So for us, we would receive approximately ballpark anywhere to $80,000 to $90,000 of that 300 if we were to fund it that way, or if we were to disperse it that way. Right now we're at $47,000, which is awesome, but it's not good.
The plus is and this is in part due to what you say, we made so much noise about this. And now the tribes are on board. We first started talking about this most of the legislature, you even know it was. So we made significant progress.
And with this as well, so I want to talk a little bit of shop here. Each legislator is given a little bit of political capital to spend, and they're allowed to kind of put in some asks and things like that. We will have you work really well with Senator Schmidt or Senator Chatfield and ask them poll if we could have them put in as one of their asks, $500,000. Now, Senator Schmidt was able to get $500,000, but at least he got $300,000. Because he's really frustrated. The House budget, which is the least part of our budget, proposes a 1.9% increase. We would receive a 1.9% increase of $197,000. So that's down about $60,000 from the governor's budget. Not ideal, obviously. But they're all relatively $60,000 a month. They have the same
strict cap on tuition restraint. They restricted TIP reimbursements to three times the community college rate, which I think is certainly better than two times, but I think that it sets a negative precedent that they can just have this program that they made a promise to vote moderate of students. They made a promise that they have to deliver. Unfortunately, we see the tuition rate that will keep their promise to teach. And then they did not include any money. Which is extraordinarily frustrating because, to be frank, our state representative is the leadership. And usually when you're in the leadership, you kind of get whatever you want. So that's very important. Here's kind of just a chart that shows all that. And I put at the bottom, if anybody's interested in looking at this in more detail, the Master has put out a really great page that kind of shows all the different pieces and parts. There's a whole bunch that I left out. I mean, not that we don't care, MSU, Mag Bio, so I can send that out to you if you'd like, and also include the appropriation testimony that we handed out to the legislature. Our last slide here is some other legislative issues that are important to us. Income tax repeal, just to address that shortly. It was introduced in the House, they tried to pass it relatively quickly. For a bill of that magnitude, it failed in the House, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of muscle to bring it back. And in fact, the six representatives that voted against it, against their party, are kind of living high in the hog right now. Like, they're kind of like the celebrities out on Lansing right now because they voted against their party. Tuition incentive program, obviously, I addressed that a little bit. Ferris State University has offered a plan that is not necessarily in our best interest. I've talked to the House about this quite a bit, and we are going to be collaborating and putting together kind of a thought of what the Lake State plan would look like and what we would like to see have looked at. Tax exempt loan program, that's an interesting thing. That's available for municipalities right now. What that would do is it would allow us to take out a loan for something like a performance based contract and not have to list it on our balance sheet, which for us is fantastic because if we work with jobs and controls and we have to list that on our balance sheet, that might potentially affect our bond rating, things like that. This will take care of that problem. There's some universities that have some concerns about that, but we're working. As Dr. Plager mentioned, we are asking for $300,000 to help offset some of the costs we incurred in regards to our electrical outages and things like that in replacement of it. So that will be going on, they call it the spring supplemental, but it's more like summer and fall. So we're working on that right now. Another big bill that continues to come up every single session is Community College Baccalaureate. And for those who are unfamiliar with that term, that's the bill that will allow community colleges to offer four-year bachelor's degrees. Right now, the big push is that certain community colleges want to offer four-year bachelor's in nursing, which, as we know, is a very high-cost program, and they're going to have to compete with us. It's going to be difficult because they're in our 20s. Their revenue somehow mitigated revenue stream. Property taxes, they want people to eat, but it's not. There's going to be no winners. And then other various bills, there's a whole bunch of brain points, FOIA bills, and that stuff. And are there any questions? So timing, so in regards to budgets, which TIP is going to be part of, they try to get the budgets out by June 1. That's been the governor's push each year, has been to get it out by June 1. However, in watching the news, the House does not seem to be interested in passing the June 1 budget. Like they're gonna drag it out for as long as they want, or as long as they can. Right now, the big game is that the House really wants to pass an income tax repeal, and so they're leveraging every single thing the governor wants, every single thing the House wants, to get them to comply with the income tax repeal, and it's not looking awesome. So I would imagine, I would say in terms of strategy wise, we should plan for June 1, but it'll probably be July, maybe even August before it's finally. Just in case you guys don't know, these are our state officials, Senator Schmidt and Representative Jackson. So if you see Senator Schmidt around here, tell him thank you for getting on our one-time funding for the Twitch Twitter. Because that was a big deal. Or Senator. Any questions? All right, you guys can help.
Thank you.
Oh. So, budgets. Not much time. So, for this year, FY17, I don't really speak directly to revenue. So, we have projected what revenue will be for this year. And allocation of expenditures were approved based upon revenue projections. So, revenue wise, we look good. Tuition, fees, those types of things are right on target. The appropriation is right on target. The areas that are behind would be pretty much all the north side of revenues. I dumped the report on this weekend. I would say probably 60-70% of all the different revenue streams are either at or ahead of what we had projected for this year. So that is good. I would estimate that it will be about 1%, 1.5% beyond the projected for revenue this year.
So, plus, our history has been for quite some time, we get toward the end of the year, so I guess somehow calculate wrong, we don't know what we were, and then capital reserves. It's been our matter sometimes. Not doing that, we have to take money out of our reserves. It's very hard to track back on our budget and put in place the tools so we know where we are.
So that brings me to the other side of the equation, which is expenditures. I didn't do our first quarter expenditure review because the first quarter is just July, August, September. So September. But we did a 6-month review, and so I met with all the budget managers that were over budget, and anybody that had concern for us, and email out to them and see responses back. So we're tracking the expenditures very closely. Now we'll do a three-quarter review. We're not reviewing the budget managers again. Moving forward, I sent an email out this weekend to all the budget managers, everybody on campus, and yes, ask the budget managers to go on the budget pack and to begin their budget request process for this year. You should use the draft budget that's in budget pack to start with, because we voted all the people saying. If you start with the final, you won't have any people in your budget. Start with the draft, and when you get the draft, you can just move it over to your final. The blog, blog in Lydian or something, I don't know. Crazy blog. I gotta get Mark Boucher to change a couple things in the blog there yet. So I get notifications when people send in comments and so forth, but I see there's like 650 hits on the blog, but no one's talking. So talk to me, say something, ask a question. Any questions? How many worms I caught? There's some activity on the blog site there. In addition to that, I've scheduled 3 campus-wide meetings. The first 3 will focus on revenue projections for next year. Go to what we did last year, project this year, and how I plan to modify that a little bit. Going into next year, what we'll look at is revenue streams, what we're going to land, historical numbers, and so forth. And then we'll also take a look at the metrics. So I think a good thing that the campus identifies a set of metrics that they feel are valuable and useful for determining where we are in terms of our financial health. Other agencies are already doing that. The HLC comes here every year. They don't come here, but they ask me every single year for our financials. They determine our financial health. And the course is the same thing. They ask me for financials. They determine our financial health, and they post it out to the world. And those are just 2 organizations. There are several others that go in and look at our financial health. Most credit agencies want to know what our financial health is, and so it's important that we have those numbers and understand what drives them, and we take control of those numbers instead of just letting them be whatever they be. We can actually change those numbers and change our financial health. So, those will be the first 3 meetings, or the first 2 meetings, I guess, and the last one just open session, Q&A, bring whatever questions you want in the third session. After that, I'll schedule more sessions, and those will focus more on expenditures and trends and so forth, and that before we can save money. At some point, we need to actually come to consensus on what we're actually wanting to have for a plan for 18, 19, 20 going forward. As Jay showed here, we had to do original budget that I put out, which is in the 3-year plan, had a 1.9% increase from the state. Obviously, 1.9 is the best case scenario here of these newcomers. On the other hand, the budget that I put forward had a 3.5% tuition increase, and now we know we put 3.8% of the charge to students. We have some attitude with the tuition increase, and then the other one, the other key driver in revenue is growth. And as of our last cabinet meeting, the admissions folks and the enrollment folks are still indicating that we should budget for a 3% decrease in enrollment next year. So that those are key things: the enrollment, tuition, and fees, and the allocation. Those just those three things make up 96% of our revenue.
I'm just curious if you have a basic number you could use to determine how much that enrollment increase is in students. Like, if you put a dollar value on students, in additional students, how does that measure up?
So the question is something along the lines of, can I put a dollar value for a student?
Yeah, basically, can we talk about, if we had more students, would we need to raise tuition? If we had more students and the 200,000 more, you know?
Yeah, so this is a good conversation. Since I'm short on time, I'm just going to give you a little quick segue and plug the campus-wide meeting. It's a good conversation to have with the blog or the campus-wide meeting, because enrollment is one thing, but leveraging financial aid is another. So when you ask me, so right away when you say, can I put a value on a student, I immediately start to think of tuition discounting and our 35% tuition discount rate, which is, I don't remember, 7-8% higher than the next university in the state of Michigan. We could just reduce our tuition discount rate 4%, that's $1 million, and we'd still be the highest discount in the state of Michigan. So there's lots of things to look at here. So the price on a student today, I would say the average student pays, $10,000, I should know the number, but I don't, $10,000 a year in tuition. Somewhere in that ballpark, I think. And so 35% of that is money we give them for the tuition. So basically, when you look at the financials and you see that tuition and fees is $22 million, it's not $22 million. Subtract $7 million from that.
Again, we've been talking about this for some time, but it's extremely important. Our tuition flexibility of 3.8% is nothing compared to what we can do with what we sell at this point. That's where we have the opportunity to make dramatic changes in the revenue to the institution. We are giving away 35% of our tuition revenue every year. Because we we're changing it. We're expecting that to be very different in the next coming year in terms of the rate we're awarding. Should drive up the overall revenue, still be attractive for students, but we have a greater rate of return on what we give out. That's what we did not take up a whole lot of attention to in the past. How much do we discount and give away, incentivize students to come, and then measure that in a net return? That's what the critical number is. That's important. I do also want to comment on, please look over the Michigan clip sheets when I send those out. They are important to know what's happening in Michigan. If you've been watching those the last 6 months, there are some institutions that are in big trouble. CMU, MU, major deficits, enrollment declines, Wayne State's medical school financially on the ropes. Following that closely. One of the other really shocking things in the state of Michigan is law school admissions are absolutely a box volume. So much so that I think who is that? Jay left, but I think it's
down it's down to like 3,000 students.
Mm-hmm. So they've had something like a 70% drop in enrollment.
Yes. It's tanked in the last 5 years.
There's some question about whether they'll still be around. So why are these things happening? There are major shifts in the demographics of the state, major shifts in the number of young people going to college, and major shifts in the way people are going to be doing business. I would predict we're going to see in the next couple of years some of the other institutions following many of the things that we're doing in terms of reorganization, in terms of redistributing their financial aid. And I am on this mission for the governor for another 2 months. That's a great experience. I'm looking forward to having it done. It's about time driving all of Michigan, going to events, reading. I have been fortunate that I've been able to leverage some of the higher regimes in my colleagues that will be in that report that would be, I think, good for higher ed as a whole. But big picture for Michigan, which we'll see in that, it is a major concern for the state, is our greatest population shift is 24 and under. It would be dropping by as much as 50 to 60%. That has not only higher ed concern, K-12 concern, but now the sector that is so concerned is industry. The predicting you're not going to need enough employees in the manufacturing organization. Auto companies are now saying we're going to have to start employing people. That's a major concern for the state of Michigan. That's why the governor has embraced immigration. Not the most typical Republican stance right now. Governor Schneider realizes our young population, a lot of them falls out in the state. We have to import people from other places. That means other states and other nations. That's what we need. Michigan, that's what built Detroit. So we have to return to them. And interestingly, you may have heard me say, where is Michigan going to grow? Only one demographic, 65 and older. In fact, the state now predicts by 2030, our demographic age profiles in the senior populations will be identical to Florida. We'll have the same percent of the population 65 and older is Florida. Think about that. We're not a primary retirement state. What does that mean? That means our population is graying, and we're not replacing it in terms of young people. That has implications for all kinds of things, K-12, higher ed, industry. That's probably going to be the main focus of this report. What can Michigan do to climb out of its demographic changes in the next 10 or 15 years in the future of the state for all those reasons?
Content?
Talk about that.
We talked about content.
Okay.
I do have one other bit of information, and that is registration for fall classes occurred the final week in March. So we're a week out, right? I'm getting it from this year compared to last year. So our enrollments, number of students registered for the fall right now stands at 1255. A year ago, it was 1283. That's down 2.2%. Okay? Thanks to all you're doing in terms of advising these students, encouraging them to register. Please do what you can to stay in touch with students over the summer. Right? We want to keep folks connected to campus. Bring as many back in the fall as we possibly can. Questions?
And we still have a lot of time to recruit. Now we need time to recruit. We were hired and still don't know that a lot of people mostly expect our return on the way we distributed financially to be very different than this year. We'll see the uptick there as the results start to come in terms of what we've done financially. That's sort of exactly where that. And we'll see a change in how the business will be looking at probably in the next couple months. Anything else? Anything you want to ask about?
Staff Senate met as a whole last week, and one of the points we discussed, we talked a lot about culture, but mainly it was about communication. And trying to get away from the send it, let's send me, let's send an email to go out and talk to people. Crystal, who said it's brought up, take that inner office mail yourself if you can. I'm not saying take a whole day to communicate, but take a little more opportunity to make that communication personal. That will help with interpersonal relationships between all of us, and that will help.
Thanks, and I agree with that. I am actually in the conscious been trying to not have my cell phone with me all the time. I just feel it's such a distraction. It occupies people in the game. Think about how many times do I wish I could respond right back. I'm sort of getting used to being in that. It's communication. Technology can be.
Well, you don't get that nuance that you get when you talk to somebody face to face. One of the suggestions is to stop working for a few minutes a day, go around and maybe say hi to someone, see how their day is. Just to improve that, personal relationship with the culture of
something. I appreciate you all being here. These meetings are important. In fact, I was in some of the asking the other day about how you incentivize me. My previous culture, these meetings were considered by the faculty and the staff. That's fine. There's a little, not in history, so nothing to do with the faculty. Just contacted one other faculty who didn't show up and said, this is the most important thing. You're not, that's not the best part of your service to the institution. You're not there. I mean, that's how important it was to the campus. And the reason I mention that is I've been getting, this week I got an email from a group on campus saying, we don't know where we are with HLC, we don't know what's happened with faculty publications, we don't know what's happened. And when I hear that, it's frustrating because I think by the email reports and these meetings, the things that are on this list that people said I don't know anything about, the things we've been covering in these meetings, every meeting for the last 6 months, I thought about who sent it over, but I don't see those folks here. I realize it's early in the morning, but I really appreciate those of you who come. This is an important opportunity to have some discussion, dialogue, and find out what's happening for me in the administration to hear what's happening from you. So please encourage your colleagues to come to these meetings, to be involved. I also greatly appreciate those of you who are involved in the cafe structure because it's an important form of communication and input as well. So thank you. Anything else?
Good job.
Enjoy the spring.